If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Georgia on his mind.
I want to protect people's lives. I totally disagree.
Waiting for that government check.
We're down to like $10.
Deadly southern tornadoes.
The wind was blowing so strong, and we ran into the bathroom.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan in northern New Jersey with the CBS World News Roundup. There's been pushback from President Trump aimed at one of the states moving to ease coronavirus restrictions, even as he says the country has to move toward reopening. A just-released CBS News poll finds 70% of Americans say the priority should be slowing the spread of the virus, not getting the economy going, and half won't be looking to go to public places like restaurants and stores right away when stay-at-home orders are lifted. Our coverage this morning begins with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The president says he strongly disagrees with Georgia Governor Brian Kemp.
I think it's too soon.
Too soon for tattoo parlors, nail and hair salons to open this week.
They can wait a little bit longer, just a little bit, not much, because safety has to predominate.
Mr. Trump, who says he hopes to have a 4th of July celebration on the National Mall with social distancing, adds Governor Kemp should do what he thinks is right.
I'm going to let him make his decision, but I told him I totally disagree.
Correspondent Mark Strassman is in Atlanta.
Georgia fails to meet suggested federal guidelines for lifting restrictions, a 14-day downward trajectory of new positive cases. Florida doesn't either, but some of their Gulf Coast beaches will also reopen as early as Friday.
We will do this safely and based on the data in our state.
Oklahoma also falls short of those suggested federal standards. But the state's governor announced businesses like hair salons and spas can open tomorrow. In Iowa, Tyson Foods suspended operations at a pork plant indefinitely. More than 180 COVID infections were linked to the facility.
We need to get more testing here. That's critically important.
On Wednesday, Wisconsin also saw its largest daily jump in positive cases since the pandemic began.
It's just reckless and irresponsible to go back to business as usual.
Wisconsin COVID survivor Leah Bloomberg spent 9 days in a coma on a ventilator.
If you open up and somebody is asymptomatic, it'll just spread like wildfire.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has eased one of that state's coronavirus rules. Some hospitals will be able to resume scheduled non-emergency surgeries.
We will be very thoughtful and judicious about how we do that. We will not overload the system.
The head of the U.S. agency in charge of developing a coronavirus vaccine has been removed from his job. CBS's Paula Reed says Dr. Rick Bright wanted vetting and urged caution about hydroxychloroquine, which has been touted by the president.
Bright said the administration has pressured me and other conscientious scientists to fund companies with political connections, as well as efforts that lack scientific merit. He added that sidelining me in the middle of this pandemic and placing politics and cronyism ahead of science puts lives at risk.
And another top health official, CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield, has tried to clarify what he told the Washington Post about a possible virus resurgence in the fall coupled with the seasonal flu.
I didn't say that this was going to be worse. I said it was going to be more complicated or more difficult. And potentially complicated because we'll have flu and coronavirus circulating at the same time.
President Trump suggested the virus may not come back at all. House actions expected today on the latest virus relief bill. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
$310 billion Congress is set to approve today after the first tranche of $250 billion ran out in just 2 weeks.
We have customers and clients and students who've paid for their classes who are all asking for refunds. We have to give them their refunds.
Varun Ranasinghe owns a karate studio in Maryland. He's applied for a PPP loan 3 times, but has heard nothing.
It seems that the people who are needing it the most are not getting it.
One survey found that 80% of small businesses are either still waiting to receive the money or haven't even been told where their application stands.
At least 6 people were killed when violent weather tore through Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana. CBS's Janet Shamlian is north of Houston.
The Texas tornado tore a path straight through Polk and Jacinto counties.
Everything was just real calm. Then all of a sudden it swished.
Uprooted trees litter neighborhoods in the town of Onalaska. The tornado hurled a pine tree at Nick Prager's home.
It went 15 feet in the air and landed right on top of the house.
There were also deaths in Oklahoma as a tornado whipped across the city of Medill.
We were praying. We were huddled together in a corner.
And in Louisiana, crews began cleaning up overnight after a tornado there left at least 1 person dead.
A Chinese man who posted video from Wuhan during the early days of the virus outbreak has now surfaced after disappearing for nearly 2 months. Asia correspondent Raimi Innocencio.
Chinese citizen journalist Li Zihua says he was detained by police and quarantined because he had visited sensitive epidemic areas. The last videos he had posted online showed him being chased by a white SUV in the city of Wuhan, eventually being taken away by people identifying themselves as police. In a new video, Li said he was treated well, given 3 meals each day, was able to watch Chinese news, and that the police, quote, really cared about me.
Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is out with new restrictions that bar most international students and those who entered the U.S. illegally from getting emergency college grants in the virus rescue package passed last month. Earlier, it was thought universities would have leeway in handing out the money. CBS's Steve Futterman has the latest report card on student achievement in this country.
American students are not doing well in 3 key subjects, U.S. history, geography, and civics. More than 42,000 eighth grade students were given tests. Less than 25% were proficient in those subjects. The results indicate a gap between white students and black and Hispanic students.
Here in New Jersey, the stars came out last night.
Well, tomorrow will be sunshine, sunshine.
Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, and others performing from their homes in a broadcast to benefit the state's pandemic relief fund. A new government analysis gives a mostly cloudy forecast for the 2 biggest benefit programs.
Medicare is projected to become financially insolvent in 6 years. Social Security will not be able to pay full benefits starting in 2035. And these projections do not account for the financial impact of the coronavirus. The report suggests that in 15 years, the Social Security Trust Fund reserves will only be enough to cover about 79% of benefits. And even if employment rebounds by the end of this year, the pandemic could accelerate depletion of the fund by about 6 months. Jim Shanavy, CBS News.
On New York's Long Island, 100-year-old Philip Kahn died last week of the coronavirus. The World War II vet's twin brother Samuel died weeks after his birth in 1919 of the Spanish flu. A grandson tells the New York Post the two were pandemic bookends. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. Okay. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene,
there were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus starting May 1st.